Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Speak to you in the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Good morning. Here we are in Lent 2. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This short passage from Genesis is central to the theology of three great Abrahamic religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. It serves as a hinge between God's activities in the primal history of Genesis and the rest of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Up to this point, the stories in Genesis have taken us from the creation and fall of Adam and Eve through a downward spiral of human wickedness, driving mankind farther and farther away from our Creator. We have seen God trying to recapture the close relationship with humanity that existed in the Garden of Eden before the fall. The world got so bad that God tried to start over again with Noah, that sinless man, whose first action, when once again on dry land, was to get naked and get drunk. Human hubris led to an attempt to become like gods in the story of Babel. No longer unified by language, scattered about the world, lost in their sinfulness and separated from God, is where the primal history ends and the history of the patriarchs begins. With Abram, God is trying something new. God, who had been focused on the world as a whole, focuses on one family, hoping through them to bless the entire world. God promises Abram, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." This is the promise that Abraham and his descendants, the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, live under. The purpose of God's blessing isn't that one family thrive, as is made clear by the end of the sentence. "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Favoring this one family doesn't negate God's love for all the people of the world. This family is to be a tool to bring blessing and relationship with God to everyone. These verses of the Bible are extraordinarily inclusive. God's love is bigger than any one family or culture. God's love is boundless. God's love doesn't fail when we are not perfect. God loves us regardless of who we are. Prior to these verses, Abram has done nothing and said nothing to explain why God chose him for such a blessing. Blessing comes by the grace of God, as Paul speaks of throughout his letters. No one person, group, faith, denomination, or other social group is favored exclusively by God. Blessing is available to all. Abram's obedient response to God's command, "Lech lecha," which means go, speaks of how God's grace works. Abram trusted in God and was obedient. For the grace of God to work upon us, we must trust in the extraordinary love of God that God has for us and for others. Abraham did not see the blessing fulfilled within his lifetime, but it changed his life and the life of the Hebrew people forever. It was the lens through which they viewed the world, and it instructed their lives. It is the lens through which the Torah was written and gifted to the world. Christians live under a twofold blessing. We have inherited the blessing of Abraham, and we have been blessed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate sign of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Just like the descendants of Abram, we live our lives under a promise that instructs our lives now and will be fulfilled in the future. The promise of everlasting life, the ultimate gift from a loving Creator God, is the promise we live under. No matter how bad our life might get, we know that in the future we will be reunited with God. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Once again, God is working outward from a particular people. Jesus came to the Hebrew people so that the entire world might be blessed. That, my friends, will only happen if we, like Abraham and his descendants, become a blessing to others. That is what blessing is all about. So how do we bless others? We bless others by modeling our lives on Jesus, the perfect example of God's love. We put aside our egos. We think of others before ourselves. We serve others, and we give thanks to God for loving us and for loving others who are different from us. From the very beginning, God's love has not been reserved for some and withheld from others. We become a blessing by allowing the power of God to work upon and through us. We trust in the Lord to help us and guide us to do the work God has given us to do. That is the expectation of being blessed. I conclude with a closing statement from the Office of Morning Prayer. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.